voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. Good morning. God bless you. I hope you had as good as could be Memorial Day. It's not a happy holiday in this country, but it's the day when we stop and we honor and remember all of those brave souls who gave their lives for this great country that we live in. Back again here on Tuesday on WGOD Radio. We're tuning into God's frequency here today to hear a word from Him. And indeed, we're going to do just that. The word's going to come out of the book of James. We're in chapter 1. We're in an ongoing series out of what some people call the New Testament book of Proverbs. And that's James. And he's going to give us some of those Proverbs today. Three of them, to be exact. He's going to tell us today to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or slow to anger. Swift to hear, I think maybe that's why God gave us two ears. That's where we're at here today. This will play today and tomorrow. We are meeting for midweek Bible study tomorrow. More on that as that day approaches. But if you don't hear the program tomorrow, we're in James tomorrow night. Island Community Church, that's 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 6 o'clock Wednesday night. We roll out the giant blackboard. We have an awesome time in the Word. We'd love to see you. You're invited, by the way. Our wonderful church family make you feel warm and welcome, whether or not you visit a Sunday morning at 10:30 or Wednesday evening at 6. My email address is paul@wgodradio.com. Love to hear from you. Okay, this will play today and wrap up tomorrow. I've entitled this sermon Slow to Anger, or I could say in respect to Mark Bomer, my friend, we could call this Lessons for Living, Part 1. Okay. We're in the New Testament book of Proverbs, a.k.a. James. I've entitled this sermon, Lessons for Living, Part 1. James is going to give us some great, wise, sound advice on how to live right. Things we need to do. Things we need to avoid. And, of course, attitudes. For the most part, attitudes to avoid. So we're going to start here with three commands. We're in James chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, Danny. We're in James chapter 1. How's that? We'll pick it up here in verse 19. You know, this, I had no idea. This did not dawn on me when the Lord led me to write this sermon that it was going to be on Memorial Day. Maybe that'll make more sense as we go through this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Actually, we've got three commands here from James. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Or some translations will say slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So we got three commands here. Number one is be swift to hear. Notice that God gave us two ears so that you and I can hear people in stereo even. Slow to speak is the second one. Two ears but only one tongue. At least some of us only have one tongue. God's only given us one. We'd be double-tongued with more than one.
slow to speak, or else I've named this the Biden rule. Man, what a gaff master that guy is. That dude ought to just keep his mouth shut. Talk about being slow to speak. I think we need to spend twice as much time listening than we do speaking. The third command, be slow to anger. Makrothumia is the Greek word, meaning a long time to get sore. Where our word long suffering comes from. You see, when you get angry, it does nobody any good at all. The Bible says to be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. All right, fine. In other words, get angry over it if you must. Better be the best cause for you to get angry over it. But even if you do get angry, you better get over it by time. What time does the sun set in the Keys? 7:58, right? Better get over it by 7:58 in the evening if you're going to get angry over it, if it's the right cause. But the very next verse says, nor give an opportunity or a stronghold to the devil. When you get angry, you give the devil a stronghold. Unbiblical anger gives place to the devil. Hear me now. Listen to what I'm going to say to you today. When you're angry, you cannot hear from God. When you are angry, you cannot hear from God. That's what you sacrifice to walk in that emotion. If you're going to walk in anger, the one thing you're going to give up is hearing from God. You can't hear from Him when you're angry. When you are angry or when your flesh is controlling you, you cannot hear from God. Romans 8:7 says this, the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, neither is it able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's New American Standard. Romans 8, 7 and 8. The mindset on the flesh is hostility towards God. Now the Bible gives us examples of what can happen to a man or a woman when they get mad. Moses, the man of God, lost just about everything. If you want to turn with me, fourth book of the Old Testament, Numbers. Moses, the man of God, lost just about everything. You know, Darren, you're a man of God. I mean, this kind of stuff can happen to anyone, at any time, in any place. Numbers chapter 20, verse 2. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. And the people thus contended with Moses and said, if only we had perished with our brothers when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? So then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take your rod, you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes so that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock. Then Moses lifted up his hand, and he struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. You see, in an outburst of wrath, Moses, the man of God, was not able to enter into the promised land. Because Moses had a problem with anger. Look at what he did here. He did an unconscionable thing. He took God's glory that was due him and took it to himself and gave the impression that he himself had provided water. He wasn't told to strike the rock. He said, talk to the rock. What did he do? He hit it twice. And he said that him and his brother, had provided water. Now the Apostle Peter, in a fit of wrath, took a sword and tried to cut off someone's head. But he missed and only cut off his ear. And then the Bible says this in John 18:10. It says, and Jesus was angry at Peter and told him, put that sword away. Put that sword back in its sheath. For those who live by the sword shall die by it. What great advice to remember today. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. When you walk in anger like this, you better be prepared. All right, so certainly we can see, and we all already know, that fits of anger and outbursts of wrath are not a good thing. Amen? It's never done any of us any good, has it? I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, that's probably the most embarrassing, humiliating attitude to walk in personally. It's ugly, isn't it? When you look back and you find out that you've been angry. So let me show you the greatest catalyst in our culture today for igniting that wrath on the inside of you. You know what it is? Politics. Politics. How's that? Because everybody's mad. And everybody's filled with rage. No matter what side you're on. If you're a progressive Democrat, man, those people are always angry. Have you noticed that? Have you ever seen a happy liberal? They're always angry. They're never happy. They're never satisfied. They're always, always, always angry. Look at the protests over abortion. Look how angry it makes these people. And now on the other side are Republicans, even Christians, who are passionate about politics. And what we see happening to this country makes us, here it comes. What does it do to us when we see what's happening? It makes us angry. In some instances, it causes outbursts of wrath, which is dangerous. I mean, I can't imagine. Here it is, Memorial Day. People won't even stand for the national anthem anymore. People hate this country. How can you not get angry? And I'm just here to show you, give you a warning here today, that when you and I get angry, that's one of Satan's greatest tools to take you out. It's one of his greatest tools to take you out. Won't lose your salvation, You'll just be taken out. You'll be taken out of the game. You'll be on the bench, or even worse, you'll be dead. Ask Peter. Ask Moses. Ask the billion or so people who have made catastrophic mistakes during outbursts of wrath. So now, regarding these two political sides, when the smoke clears, it's only one who's left laughing over this, and that's the devil himself. In politics, everybody's angry. Again, I remind you of the word of God. The mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Meaning your mind doesn't give a rip about God and what the Bible says. If you're going to get angry and hostile, your mind, your soul, your seat of emotions, who you are as a being, will not give a rip about him. It's not a possibility, it's a guarantee. It says here, it is not able to do so, that it is you. You cannot hear from God when you walk this way and let this control you. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, when is it a good time to get angry? I'll answer that question with another question. When did Jesus get angry? Three things. Number one, when God was dishonored. When they started to use the sanctuary for other reasons than worshiping the king, Jesus was angry and said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you people have made it a den of thieves." How is this done today? Having bingo in your church. Using the sanctuary for bingo? That would make Jesus angry if he was here today. Not angry at you, angry at me. How about this one? This takes place within 2 miles of this church. Letting the Republican Party meet in your sanctuary and having monthly meetings there. You see, now the food pantry in the sanctuary is different because we're doing God's work here. Feeding the poor out of this church is an extension of worship. We come in here and worship, and God says, take care of his peeps. And that's what we do. We open the door. We wheel food in here. We use this house of God to help people that don't have a loaf of bread. That's the distinction. And why it's okay to do that in here. It's an extension of worship. Number two, Jesus was angry when God's house was, let's call it, vandalized. What else causes Jesus to get angry? Number three, unbelief. Unbelief makes him angry. If you would please turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Second book, New Testament, Gospel of Mark. Chapter 3, verse 1, and he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely to see whether or not he would heal on a Sabbath. Maybe even substitute that, you know, the church leaders were watching to see if he was going to do anything good on a Sunday. Right? It is crazy, isn't it? Oh, ways to know you've lost it, part one. Number one, the Son of God's in your presence. You've been waiting a billion eons of centuries. And here comes the Messiah. And you're bent out of shape because he's going to heal someone on a Sunday. You've lost it. You have lost it if you feel that way. They were watching him closely to see whether or not he was going to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So he said to the man who had the withered hand, he said, "Step forward." Then he said to them, the accusers, "Tell me, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" And then it says, but they kept silent. Remember, Paul condemns those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They knew the right answer to that, and they just shut their mouth and didn't say anything. To suppress the truth in unrighteousness is to know the truth and to go silent and not say anything. Because you fear something. You fear the people. That's like being a Christian in the Democrat Party. And your party says to you, you are for abortion or get out. And you just keep silent and stay where you are. You have suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. And the Bible says you're just as guilty as those that do it. When you know to do the right thing and you don't do it and you keep silent about it, you're just as guilty as those that do it. Where's that in the Bible? It's the end of Romans chapter 1, isn't it? They kept silent. Verse 5. And when he looked around at them with anger. All right, Jesus is mad now. Now he's angry at these cats. They knew what the truth was. They knew who he was, but they were more concerned with upsetting the apple cart, or they were more afraid of what someone else might think about them, like maybe you are with your friends or neighbors or people you go to school with, and you just keep silent when you know the truth, and someone asks you for the truth, and you don't say anything.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. And failure's never final when the Father's in the room. And failure's never final when the Father's in the room.
Home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
You're listening to WMIE. Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches. 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. After more than four decades, the pastor of one of the nation's largest and most influential churches is ready to step down, and he's named a young couple to take his place. Saddleback Church pastor Rick Warren told his Orange County, California congregation in an email on Thursday that they had found God's couple to lead their congregation, and they've agreed to come. In the email, it also included a video featuring Warren and his wife Kay, along with Andy and Stacy Wood of Echo Church in San Jose, California. Andy Wood, 40 years old, is currently Echo's lead pastor, while Stacy Wood is a teaching pastor. They will have the same roles at Saddleback. Founded in 2008 as South Bay Church, Echo now has four campuses and draws about 3,000 people to weekly services. Echo began as a Southern Baptist church but no longer cooperates with the convention. Wood graduated from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Governments and societies throughout the world continue to violate religious freedoms, but progress was made in some countries during the last year. That, according to a U.S. State Department official, Secretary of State